When he arrived in the entrance hall at 8 o'clock that night, he found an unusually large number of girls lurking there, all of whom seemed to be staring at him resentfully as he approached Luna. She was wearing a set of spangled silver robes that were attracting a certain amount of giggles from the onlookers, but otherwise she looked quite nice. Harry was glad in any case that she had left off her radish earrings, her butterbeer cork necklace, and her spectre specs. "Hi," he said. "Shall we get going then?"
"Oh, yes," she said happily. "Where is the party?"
"Slughorn's office," said Harry, leading her up the marble staircase away from all the staring and muttering. "Did you hear? There's supposed to be a vampire coming."
"Rufus Scrimgeour?" asked Luna.
What? Said Harry, disconcerted. "You mean the Minister of Magic?"
"Yes, he's a vampire," said Luna matter-of-factly. "Father wrote a very long article about it when Scrimgeour first took over from Cornelius Fudge, but he was forced not to publish by somebody from the Ministry. Obviously, they didn't want the truth to get out."
Harry, who thought it most unlikely that Rufus Scrimgeour was a vampire, but who was used to Luna repeating her father's bizarre views as though they were fact, did not reply. They were already approaching Slughorn's office, and the sounds of laughter, music, and loud conversation were growing louder with every step they took. Whether it had been built that way, or because he had used magical trickery to make it so, Slughorn's office was much larger than the usual teacher's study. The ceiling and walls had been draped with emerald, crimson, and gold hangings, so that it looked as though they were all inside a vast tent. The room was crowded and stuffy, and bathed in the red light cast by an ornate golden lamp dangling from the centre of the ceiling, in which real fairies were fluttering, each a brilliant speck of light. Loud singing, accompanied by what sounded like mandolins, issued from a distant corner. A haze of pipe smoke hung over several elderly warlocks deep in conversation, and a number of house elves were negotiating their way squeakily through the forest of knees, obscured by the heavy silver platters of food they were bearing, so that they looked like little roving tables.
"Harry, my boy!"
boomed Slughorn, almost as soon as Harry and Luna had squeezed in through the door.
"Come in, come in. So many people I'd like you to meet."
Slughorn was wearing a tasseled velvet hat to match his smoking jacket. Gripping Harry's arm so tightly he might have been hoping to disapparate with him, Slughorn led him purposefully into the party. Harry seized Luna's hand and dragged her along with him.
"Harry, I'd like you to meet Eldred Warple, an old student of mine, author of Blood Brothers, My Life Amongst the Vampires, and, of course, his friend Sanguini."
Warple, who was a small, stout, bespectacled man, grabbed Harry's hand and shook it enthusiastically. The vampire Sanguini, who was tall and emaciated, with dark shadows under his eyes, merely nodded. He looked rather bored. A gaggle of girls was standing close to him, looking curious and excited.
"Harry Potter, I am simply delighted," said Warple, peering short-sightedly up into Harry's face. "I was saying to Professor Slughorn only the other day, where is the biography of Harry Potter for which we have all been waiting?"
Said Harry, "were you?"
"Just as modest as Horace described," said Warple. "But seriously."
His manner changed. It became suddenly businesslike.
"I would be delighted to write it myself. People are craving to know more about you, dear boy. Craving. If you were prepared to grant me a few interviews, say in 4 or 5 hour sessions, why, we could have the book finished within months. And all with very little effort on your part, I assure you. Ask Sanguini here, if it isn't quite—"
"Sanguini, stay here,"
added Warple, suddenly stern, for the vampire had been edging toward the nearby group of girls, a rather hungry look in his eye.
"Here, have a pasty," said Warple,
seizing one from a passing elf and stuffing it into Sanguini's hand before turning his attention back to Harry.
"My dear boy, the gold you could make, you have no idea."
"I'm definitely not interested," said Harry firmly. "And I've just seen a friend of mine. Sorry." He pulled Luna after him into the crowd. He had indeed just seen a long mane of brown hair disappear between what looked like two members of the Weird Sisters.
Hermione! Hermione! Harry! There you are! Thank goodness! Hi, Luna!
What's happened to you?
Asked Harry, for Hermione looked distinctly disheveled, rather as though she had just fought her way out of a thicket of devil's snare.
Oh, I've just escaped. I mean, I've just left Cormac, she said. Under the mistletoe,
she added in explanation, as Harry continued to look questioningly at her.
Serves you right for coming with him, he told her severely. I thought he'd annoy Ron most, said Hermione dispassionately. I debated for a while about Zachariah Smith, but I thought, on the whole.
You considered Smith? Said Harry, revolted.
Yes, I did. And I'm starting to wish I'd chosen him. McLagan makes Grawp look a gentleman. Let's go this way. We'll be able to see him coming. He's so tall.
The three of them made their way over to the other side of the room, scooping up goblets of mead on the way, realizing too late that Professor Trelawney was standing there alone.
Hello, said Luna politely to Professor Trelawney.
Good evening, my dear, said Professor Trelawney, focusing upon Luna with some difficulty.
Harry could smell cooking sherry again.
I haven't seen you in my classes lately.
No, I've got Ferenzi this year, said Luna.
Oh, of course,
said Professor Trelawney with an angry, drunken titter.
Or Dobbin, as I prefer to think of him. You would have thought, would you not, that now I am returned to the school, Professor Dumbledore might have got rid of the horse, but no. We share classes. It's an insult, frankly, an insult. Do you know...
Professor Trelawney seemed too tipsy to have recognized Harry. Under cover of her furious criticisms of Ferenczi, Harry drew closer to Hermione and said,
Let's get something straight.
Are you planning to tell Ron that you interfered at keeper tryouts? Hermione raised her eyebrows.
Do you really think I'd stoop that low?